Good evening. You know, after my last sermon, it was kind of long. I didn't get no complaints because y'all are nice, but like my Uncle Rick, he keeps telling me, if you're going to preach until midnight, you know, someone might break their neck last time that happened. And if you can't put me back together, don't do it. And seeing as how Bill taught me everything I know about laying hands on people, you know, I ain't no good at it. So I'll try to keep this one a little bit shorter than the last one, maybe about half the length, something like that. So I think we'll be okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Tonight we're going to be talking about examples. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And in turning to 1 Timothy chapter 3, what we're going to do is grab a little bit of context so we know in the overall book of 1 Timothy what's being spoken about. Why Paul's writing to Timothy the things that he's writing. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14 and moving down to verse 15, the Bible says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Timothy, I'm writing you these things so you'll know how to behave yourself among the brethren, among you, among me, the church." So as we think about the ideas here in 1 Timothy, let's use this as kind of this background. We should see everything else in this light. And as we think about that, turn one chapter over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And as we think about examples, our first point is going to be a good minister, a good Christian, a good servant does not set a mediocre example. They set a good one. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. "Let no one despise your youth, Timothy." And we say that word despise. What that word despise means is to esteem less. Let no one esteem you less because of your youth. Let no one not take you seriously because of your youth. And here's what he says. "But be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love and spirit and faith, and in purity." There's one thing I find very interesting about that statement. He tells Timothy to be an example. But to whom does he tell Timothy to be an example? Does he tell Timothy to be an example to sinners? Does he tell Timothy to be an example to your good old boys? Or does he tell him to be an example to the believers? The example that Timothy is to set is to the best people on God's green earth, to the believers, not just to the sinners, not just to the people who, they're pretty good people, but they're not Christians. The standard is set very high. You're an example to the believers, Timothy. And by extension, we are too. We're supposed to be an example, not just to sinners, not just to good old boys, but to the believers, to the best people on the face of this earth. We're going to be an example to them, to those kind of people. And so in doing so, we need to understand the magnitude of what we're called to do. And we need to take it seriously. And now one man that took it very seriously, among many, was Daniel. Now when we think about Daniel, we think about a young man that was taken from everything he knew. Some scholars suggest he was probably in the teenage years, probably about 15, 16, 17, something like that, when he was taken into Babylonian captivity. Culture shock. Everything he knew, completely different. The only thing he really had were a few of his friends. But Daniel was different from all of them, in that he decided that he was going to be an example. He decided he was going to be different, that he wasn't going to be like your average person. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. Let's take a look at this. Daniel chapter 1. And we'll start in verses 3 and move our way down to 8 of Daniel. And in seeing this, we can see the kind of example that Daniel was. And maybe learn a little bit more about the kind of example that we should be. Daniel chapter 1. Beginning in verse 3. "And the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and after 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 7. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now here's a verse you need to watch out for, verse 8. You see that word, but. And this separates Daniel from his peers. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel, even at an early age, recognized the importance of setting a good example. He recognized the power that that has, the influence that comes with it, and that it's worth putting all your effort towards being that good servant of God. And Daniel serves as a good example for us today, where even if we find ourselves in a place where nobody else is doing what's right, we can still make a difference because of our God. Daniel serves as a fantastic example. And one of the things we need to be very careful of is to not set a mediocre example. You remember the words of Jesus in the Revelation? Specifically chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Whenever there's this discussion about the church in Laodicea. And Jesus basically said to that church, you're neither cold nor hot. And I wish that you were cold or hot. But since you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. In one sense or another, you make me sick. Sure hope that's not me. Sure hope that can't be said about you. And that's why we need to really think about the example we set. To really think about the deeds that we do, the things that we say, and the impact that they have on other people. Consider Titus for a moment. Titus was another young man like Timothy. Paul was training him to be a good minister. And one of the things that you really see in the letter that Paul wrote to Titus is an emphasis upon good works. So let's turn to Titus really quick. And as we think of Titus, the real theme is in verse 7, to set in order these things which are lacking. Titus chapter 1, and we'll kind of move around here. We'll have a little chain. And so I'll try to go a little bit slow, so if you are so inclined, you can make this chain for yourself. And one of the reasons why Paul really stresses good works in Titus is so that no one can despise or esteem less the message that Titus is bringing. And so look with me in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. And here, contextually, Titus, or Paul, rather, is writing about those insubordinate. They, the insubordinate, profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Chapter 2 and verse 1. But as for you, Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Paul wants Titus to speak the right things, to say the right things, to be an example with his lips. Drop down to verse 6 of chapter 2. Verse 6 of chapter 2. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who may be an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. The people who would make a case against you, make a case against God himself, because that's the message you're preaching. At least if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. You disarm them. You don't give them no more ammunition. They have enough. Don't give them any more. Whenever they say these things, they ought to be ashamed because of the example that we set. Because they see what we do. Everybody sees what we do. And when they throw these accusations, they know that person's lying. They're not telling the truth. Drop down to Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Let no one esteem you less. And your good works facilitate that. Your good works help people see that you're serious. Your example helps people to see that you're serious. You believe what it is you're saying. Your example is just one more piece of evidence adding onto that. One more passage. Titus 3 and verse 8. This is our last one in Titus. So if you're following along with the chain, Titus 1, 16 through 2, 1. Titus 2, 6 through 8. Titus 2, 11 through 15. And finally, Titus 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, the big question is why? Why is it good to maintain work? And he tells us these things are profitable. And one of the reasons why it's good for us to do these good works, to set a proper example, is that as we've seen, people don't have any ammunition to use against you or your message when you set that good example. And trust me, they'll look for one. They'll try to find things against you. Daniel's enemies, they tried to find something against him. They couldn't do it. The enemies of Jesus, they made stuff up about him. Even today, they do that about us. We don't need to give them any ammunition. And they're watching us. They're looking at the example that we set. So, point number two. A good minister, good Christian, disarms those who try to use irrelevant facts against him by his example. Now, in this instance of 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, I'm thinking about Timothy. The problem with Timothy was not his youth. That was just one of these things they said, okay, I'm going to use this, your youth, to discredit your message. Because I don't like your message. It doesn't fit me. It may even condemn me. And so I don't like it. If I can find something against you, I can ruin your message. Because that discredits you. And that's one of the things we need to be prepared for. Is that, as much as it hurts to admit, there are people out there who are malicious enough and cruel enough to try and smear our names because of the gospel we profess. And there are several things they'll try to do. They'll talk about you. They'll make things up about you that ain't true. Like we said, they did it to Daniel, they did it to Jesus. You better believe they'll try it with you. Turn to 1 Peter, and we'll see this very thing, and your response to this thing. When they do try and pile on these accusations, what should you do? How should you act? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Your conduct proves them to be a liar, if you're setting the proper example. Your conduct disarms them. Your conduct doesn't allow both you as a Christian and the message of the Bible to be put to shame. And we need to be very careful we don't allow those two things to happen. We'll talk about you. to make things up about you. They'll disguise the issue as something that it's not. And we see that a lot today too. And even in the Bible that happened. Remember back to Numbers chapter 12? And if you can, you can turn over there if you want. I'll just kind of touch it in passing. Numbers chapter 12, there was a contention between Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, where Miriam and Aaron were a little disgruntled because Moses had all this power and they wanted what he had. They saw God's favor in Moses and they wanted it. And so what they did was they decided they were going to make this little scheme. Moses, we don't like your wife. We got a problem with your wife because she's an Ethiopian. You ain't supposed to have her. Now, that wasn't the issue. That's how he disguised it. And then eventually in the chapter, you'll see God speaks to them all. And he basically ends up saying, Moses is meek. He's humble. I let him have the authority he has because he's proven himself worthy of it by his example. And he's putting you to shame. You need to be more like him. You need to follow his example. And that's just one instance of showing that people, they'll try to disguise the issue sometimes. We need to be wise enough to see through that. And we need to set that proper example again. So whenever they do make these accusations, that they're being liars when they're doing it. Third thing they'll do, they'll esteem you less than you ought to be esteemed. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16. When we think of 1 Corinthians 16, Paul here is having a discussion about Timothy. And what he's saying is, Timothy's doing the same work I am. You treat him the same way you treat me. We're preaching the same message. We're preaching the same gospel. The only difference is the messenger. Don't treat him any worse than you would treat me just because he's young. He is just as capable. His message is just as valid. 1 Corinthians 16, 10 and 11. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him. Let no one esteem him less. He is just as valuable to the Lord as I am. He is just as valuable to you as I am. He's got the same message. He's preaching the same gospel. The only gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we think again about this problem they brought up with Timothy. It wasn't his youth. So they didn't like his message. And they were using that as ammunition against him. And Paul's solution was real simple. And we see his solution in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. You apply yourself, Timothy. You apply yourself. Don't give a half-hearted effort. Everything you are, you put into this. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate on these things. And these things is in the context. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. That people can see the example you're setting. Again, that you take this seriously. That you believe what it is you're saying. And your example proves that. And then let no one despise your youth or whatever silly reason they might think of to avoid your message. And so, we ought not to be mediocre, but exemplary. You remember what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me, even as I imitate Christ. That's the standard, Christ Jesus himself. And we got a long way to go. But we're getting closer every day. At least we should. And thank goodness he's merciful, that he's willing to work with us, that he gave us an example so that we can be right, so that we know exactly what a good Christian looks like. We know what Christ himself looked like because we studied our Bibles, because we saw what he did, because we read the things he said. We know what he looks like. So, summation, it's not easy to be a good minister, good Christian. And As we said before, there may be times we find ourselves in a congregation where it feels like we're really the only one who cares about setting a good example. We might be called upon to be a Daniel, where we're in a place where nobody else seems to care. And we're still called to be examples. And it'd be real, real hard if we didn't have someone to look to. If we didn't have someone who set the example for us, but we do. Someone who set the perfect example. Jesus Christ himself. This is our last passage in the lessons, yours, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 through 23. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's what we're trying to do. Now, of course, we stumble and we fall. Jesus never did. But thank God he's made that provision for our weakness. He's given us that means by which we can make his righteousness our righteousness through faith in him. And he loved us so tremendously that he even died on a cross to make it a reality. And if we're ever to be the example that we should be, whether it's to sinners or to the good old boys or even to who we're supposed to be the example to, the Christians, we need to make sure we keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to make sure we're looking to him, that we're reading constantly of what he did. We're taking notes of the things he said and trying to add them to our lives. And what better way than by sitting down and reading our Bibles? Seeing all the marvelous works that he performed. Hearing all the wise words that he uttered. Seeing how, even though he was the Son of God, he served as your common slave would. And thank God we have such an example. There may be some of you tonight who aren't a member of the body of Christ, but you like to be. Real easy. There are a few things you got to do. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you got to be willing to confess that. That you absolutely believe, and your deeds show it, that he is the Christ, the one anointed by God, who was crucified on the cross for your sins and rose that third day. You got to repent of your sins. See that you had enough of this lifestyle you've been living and you want to change. You want to set the right example instead of setting the example that you have been setting in a past life. Then you got to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And then from that point on, you live faithfully unto death. We have elders, members who are willing to help you with that if you're so desirous. Or maybe you're just the average church-going Christian, you realize you ain't been setting the example you want to set. You may have brought shame to the church or shame to the message. We understand. We're human just like you are. We know your pain. We know what it's like. We'd love to pray for you.